When I got married, my husband wasn't into sports, playing or watching. He didn't know the NBA from the NFL, and I loved that about him. But his youngest brother, Mart, my brother-in-law, 19 when I met him, was a Celtics diehard. I loved this guy, and we were very close in the early years of my marriage. But I had kids, and he got into an edgy lifestyle, and somehow I lost him. But all three of my brothers-in-law were into the Celtics, and they ultimately recruited my husband into their web. All of a sudden, the TV was on for NBA games, which seemed to start in October and end in, well, never. And the noise from that television began encroaching on my silence. I asked if my husband could watch with no volume, and he kindly put the thing on mute. Then the phone call started. The brothers yelling into the phone, "No! Did you see that? That wasn't a foul, you idiot! He barely touched him!" They were watching in unison in three different time zones and four different locations. I can't explain what happened. There's no logic to it. I can only say that by mistake, one night, I looked up and I caught a glimpse of the dance on the screen. It was a ballet. These baskets they were making weren't happy accidents. They were well-rehearsed human machines, well-oiled and flawless. I was watching anticipation and intuition and communication. I was watching the result of millions of hours of practice, which, it turns out, does make perfect. But it was Mart, the best athlete of the bros, and the commentator for the new family sports channel who penetrated my consciousness, first with his repetition of, "Don't jinx it, Nance, don't jinx it." I began to find a whole different appreciation for what I had judged as men using sports as their only means of intimacy, a waste of productive time, and lurching themselves back to childhood nostalgia. I don't know if it was the tribal thing, the belonging to something greater than, or the fact that now I had an excuse to be with Mart and scream into the phone, "No! Yes! I'm dying here!" I began to shape my whole evenings around the time of the games. I canceled dinner plans, I left parties early, I started sneaking looks at my phone to check on the score when I should have been listening to someone's scintillating conversation. And then my Mart got sick. He was diagnosed with throat cancer, and it became harder and harder to understand him on the phone. We still called each other, and between my constantly saying, "What? Say that again, sweetie," and screaming when Tatum made another three-pointer, the thing was losing its joy. Mart died 3 months ago, and I couldn't turn on my TV. The brothers started up with the calls. "Nance," they yelled, "where are you?" I didn't know where I was. And then it came to me. This is grief. It wasn't just the game that had seduced me in. It was the reconnection with my precious brother-in-law. It was the reconnection with my precious brother-in-law. And now that that was broken, I couldn't imagine caring anymore. I've learned grief. I know it. I know how to navigate feeling sorrow and recovering. But somehow I forgot. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You keep the baby, you change the bathwater. But first you mourn. You honor the pain part. And I was trying to skip the pain by shutting off the TV. So this Friday night at 7:30 with trepidation and feeling. So this Friday night at 7:30 with trepidation and a willingness to feel my broken heart, I will return to my team and scream on Mart's behalf, "Don't jinx it, don't jinx it." Don't worry, Mart. I won't.